Hi, Jeff. How are you, mate?
I'm really well. How are you?
Not too bad. The old computers, they work really well, but every now and then they just give up the ghost, don't they?
I'm on my way. We'll sort this out.
Mate, let's talk about your, an 85-inch TV? Why would you want I suppose, look, you know, these days there's media rooms in homes, isn't there? And you'd put an 85-inch TV in a media room, I imagine, but it's pretty big.
Look, it is pretty big, and the one I've been testing is from Samsung. It's an 85-inch 8K TV, meaning it's got all the extra pixels as well. But I will tell you that I had a 75-inch TV before that, and I don't really notice the difference that much. An extra 10 inches hasn't felt like a significant improvement, but I will say that after using it for a few weeks, it seems normal. I don't think I would ever go smaller again. I think I'd rather a bigger TV.
Deary me. Is there a bigger TV that you can buy than an 85-inch? Is there a 95-inch? Is there a 100-inch or something like that?
Yeah, look, there are, except those sizes tend to become a special order from, you know, LG or Samsung and other brands. Even Hisense have some beyond 100 inches as well. But, you know, I think at that point you start to, you know, call them directly rather than going to your local, you know, electrics retailer. But, look, impressive TVs. This one that I've been testing, $11,000 though. So it's not a cheap television. Given it's got all the bells and whistles, you can get cheaper 85-inch TVs.
Did you say the brand?
Samsung.
I thought you said that. Yeah, Samsung. $11,000. That's a lot for a television when you can go and buy a 75-inch Samsung for a couple of grand.
Yeah, absolutely. That 10 inches makes a huge difference in cost. But if you shop around, you'll find 85-inch TVs for around the $3,000 mark as well. So it really comes down to, you know, do you want that 8K resolution or are you happy with a 4K resolution? And there's obviously some other little trickery that goes on in the TVs, but I always tell people, once you get the TV home, it looks great because it's the one TV you're looking at compared to when you're standing in a store and you've got them all in a lineup. Once you're at home, you'll be happy with whatever you've brought.
The other thing to take into consideration here when you're buying large format TVs, i.e. 75-inch or 85-inch, you've got to have a big room to be able to enjoy that large screen TV. There's no point in sticking it in a 4-meter by 4-meter room. It's just not going to work, is it?
Look, I mean, I used to say that, and yes, it's 100% true, but that 75-inch TV that was in my lounge room is now sitting about 2 meters from my desk, and it's become my office TV.
Oh, dear.
75 inches at 2 meters is actually pretty good. If you live in an apartment, I think that's the go-to size.
All right. Account holders who share their Netflix account will start to be prompted about who the real owner is as they crack down on the practice. So let me say, this is how it works. You and I live in two separate locations, and I have given you my password. I pay the subscription to Netflix, but I've given you my password, and you are able to at the moment. Is that correct? And, well, for years, I suppose, you've been able to access the Netflix service using my password at your house, which is a different location to my house. Is that correct?
Yes, it has been working that way, definitely.
Now, they've cracked down on that, have they not?
Yeah, they have, because, I mean, they are very much seeing the data and realizing that, hang on a minute, this person's account seems to be spreading to 2 or 3 households. Surely they're not there at the same time. And what they've now done is, if most people over the weekend, when they started to watch Netflix, they may have actually seen a prompt, especially if they are sharing their account. And the prompt is basically asking, is this your primary residence? And if you say it is, then that becomes what Netflix says is your primary household. That next person, such as myself in the example you gave, I would then need to enter in a verification code next time I open my Netflix. And that will be by email to you, the account holder. And I would have 15 minutes to enter in that verification code. And if I don't, then I've been caught out. So if you've got a very close relationship, you could maintain it.
So what if I have two homes, though?
So if you've got two homes and you actually want to have that secondary residence, you can either have two Netflix accounts or you can pay an extra $7.99, and it then allows that secondary household. So the same thing if you were paying for your kids or your parents' Netflix, you could just pay an extra $7, and that would mean that account can continue to operate in that separate household.
So that's $7 a month?
Yes, an extra $7 a month. However, if you're traveling, and a lot of people will do this, they go to an Airbnb, they open up the Netflix on the TV there, and they want to use their own account, you can still do that. So temporary usage will work. You'll have to verify that it's your account via an email, But beyond that, you'll have that 24 hours to enjoy Netflix before having to verify again every single time.
Okay. Unlocking and starting your car is now possible. Look, we'll just touch on this one because at the moment the only car you're going to unlock with this is a BMW.
Yeah, look, this is one of those perfect situations. If you're in the market for a brand new BMW and you've just bought a brand new Samsung phone, you've got a good relationship here because the relationship that they've built is new BMWs can be unlocked and started with a Samsung Galaxy phone. So no more keys in the pocket. You'll just carry your smartphone.
But I can do that. I don't have a BMW, but I can do that with an app on my phone with my new car.
You don't need your keys anymore?
No. Well, I have my keys, but I can start my car, unlock my car with my app here.
Fantastic.
Yeah. It's a nice car, though. And that's a couple of, you know, it's a two-year-old car. So when I say my new car, my new two-year-old car. Dyson has entered the robot vacuum space with a unit that could dominate the category. Look, I saw it. It's a, you know, it looks to be fairly rough, though, compared to some of the others.
Yeah, this one is very much an engineered product, not so much about looks.
True.
It looks like it's got the vacuum head out of their stick vac. It's got the motor out of their V8 Dyson stick vac as well. But they say it's just a good robot vacuum. It's not trying to be a mop. It's not trying to empty itself. It's not doing anything else except being a robot vacuum. And that is a small function for $2,500. So, you know, it better be a very good robot vacuum at that price, given that its competitors at that price are doing a lot more.
You took the words right out of my mouth. When you look at the price, they want $2,500 for something that would just vacuum clean. That's it.
Yeah.
And you've got to empty it yourself.
Yep, you do. Whereas, you know, for $800, you get ones that will empty themselves and potentially even mop your floors as well.
It really is a basic vacuum cleaner. When I read the article, I thought, wow, I was really disappointed that Dyson hadn't done a better job for their first robot vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, and look, and they are just saying that they have made a good vacuum, that they think it sucks better than any other robot vac, but let's wait and see.
Yeah, and just quick one here. Strong rumour suggests that the next iPhone is going to come with a different charging connection. So that means new cables, but you'll have the same cable for your iPad and also what, for your computer and for your phone?
Yeah, it basically means that if USB-C comes on the iPhone 15, any device, headphones, other smartphones will all use the same charging cable. This is something that was kickstarted by the EU. They made it mandatory for Apple to make this change. So we think that by September, Apple will do it for the iPhone 15.
Yeah, that's what all the rumours are saying. Okay, all right, mate. Short but sweet. Always good to talk to you, Jeff. Have a good
Always
week.
A pleasure.
Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks, mate.